We focused in on the Vancouver side of things yesterday. Today, let's focus in on the Pittsburgh Penguins and how they come out on this trade. We welcome in Jason Mackey from the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. He joined us on the program right now. Jason, really appreciate you doing this. I'm curious as to what your initial thoughts were of the trade when you heard about it yesterday.
Well, I really believe that Brandon Sutter was going to be traded. I've been told by Jim Rutherford off the record, I can say that now, for quite some time that he was looking to move Sutter. They didn't want him to go into a contract year and then walk without being able to get anything for him. So I didn't expect Sutter to come back. Did I expect them to get the return that they did? Absolutely not. I thought Jim Rutherford did extremely well for himself, continued a strong offseason by getting Nick Bonino and Clint Denning and basically taking the pick that they got for Dan Bylsma, turning it into a second-round pick, which, you know, the Penguins, they need draft picks and they need high draft picks.
So. Yeah.
To do that, I thought they addressed something that they really needed to do in getting that third-line center cap hit a little bit lower, and they also, by signing Eric Fair, really bolstered their bottom six depth and more of their depth down the middle.
Yeah, and I mean, that's kind of where I wanted to go with this. Let's first of all talk about the salary cap implications, because that's really important. Not only does Bonino come cheaper, but as you mentioned, now they don't have to worry about what could be a pretty hefty contract extension for Sutter, right?
Yeah, and I don't think those talks were really going to go anywhere, to be honest with you. Rutherford was very much concerned that Sutter was going to command too much on the open market. And the Penguins have committed so many dollars, as we all know, to Crosby, Malkin, Fleury, Letang, and Kessel, and there's just not much to go around, especially for a 3C. And Brandon Sutter was going to get paid elsewhere. So they need certain players to come in and play cheap, and Nick Bonino is a perfect example of that. What, 37 goals the past 2 years, and he's playing for a 1.9 cap hit. That's exactly the type of player the Penguins need. They can't afford a third-line center making $3.3 million. You can't do it. And if you're going to get a young defenseman, they're kind of at a transition point on their blue line. You still want to try to get Rob Scuderi out if they can. I don't think they're going to be able to. You're probably stuck with that contract, and you know, you're going to look to go younger and throw some things against the wall and see what sticks. And maybe Clint Denning's that guy. I'm not sure. He certainly has some offensive upside, plays a style of play that the Penguins are favorable to. But even if this was Sutter for Bonino straight up, I would say that the Penguins won the deal.
What were your impressions of Sutter last year and the role that he played?
Yeah, I don't think Sutter is as bad as some of the advanced stats folks like to paint him out to be. And believe me, I value advanced stats. I follow it and understand quite a bit of it, but I don't think it's everything. I think the balance is somewhere in the middle. And I thought Brandon Sutter kind of struggled in the corners at times. He wasn't particularly as strong on the puck, but over the course of his career, he's a fairly good face-off guy. Coming off 21 goals, we know that. Has a pretty good shot down the wing. Was impressed with that. And, I mean, the one thing that the Canucks aren't getting is a problem. I mean, you know you're going to get a quality guy in Brandon Sutter. There's not somebody in the NHL that's going to say a bad word about him. He's a great teammate. He was extremely well-liked here. So you get somebody like that, and playing in a second-line center role, frankly, I am interested to see what he can do. Is he a traditional 3C? No. But that's the role he was cast in Pittsburgh, and I'm not sure it was perfect for him.
And so Bonino kind of slots in, like, obviously we won't know until October, but you know, the thought would be that Bonino kind of slots in as that third guy where Sutter was?
Well, when Eric Fair had elbow surgery June 3rd, when he's healthy and back, they want him as their 3C.
Okay.
In the interim, I think Bonino's probably going to get the fair share of the rest third-line center. Now, after, you know, both of those guys are healthy, I think some of it depends on, they have a young kid named Oscar Sundquist, Swedish kid. If he comes along and takes that fourth-line center job, I'm sure they're going to be fine moving Bonino or Fair onto the wing. Both of those guys have a little bit of flexibility there. If they both stay at center and Sundquist needs a year, that's fine too. But as I understand it, if everybody's healthy, all things are equal, they want to at least start with Fair at third line center and Bonino on the fourth line.
He is Jason Mackey, joins us from the Pittsburgh Tribune Review here on the Big Show on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. So the Eric Fair contract, is there a whole lot of worry the fact that he won't be able to play for the first couple months of the season, knowing that he did have the elbow surgery?
Yeah, it certainly doesn't sound like it. You know, $2 million a year over 6 years, or over 3 years rather, $6 million total. There doesn't seem to be much concern. Jim Rutherford spoke yesterday about you know, checking in with the doctor that performed the surgery. The Penguins medical team has talked to that person, and they've exchanged information. The Penguins are very comfortable where he's at, top 20th percentile, you know, whatever that means, Jim Rutherford's words, as far as his recovery. So basically, everything's going great. They're thrilled with his progress. Mm-hmm. There isn't any concern. Jim Rutherford basically told Fair, look, take as much time as you need. Relax. We don't need you to come back early. We just need you to come back 100%. So I would say in the five-month time frame, I think is reasonable to expect him to come back.
So since the end of last season and since they were eliminated by the New York Rangers in the first round, the Penguins have added up front Phil Kessel, Nick Bonino, Eric Fair, while Brandon Sutter, Steve Downey, Blake Como have all left. How much better, how much deeper are the Penguins up front since the end of last season?
Well, to me, it's a completely different team, to be honest with you, and I think it's in a good way. The Penguins' fourth line last year threatened nobody. I don't know if they would threaten a practice squad. I mean, they weren't going to score a goal, and you knew it as soon as they hit the ice. They could give you 7-8 minutes of energy. That's about the most you could ask for. And now the Penguins could throw a fourth line out there that's a legitimate threat. And you look at their top six, I mean, you're going to have four premium pieces in Malkin, Crosby, Kessel, and Hornquist. You have a couple question marks in Kunitz and Perron. You know, do they play well enough to warrant top 6 minutes? What's Sergei Plotnikov going to do when he comes over for Russia? But the one thing that sticks out to me, the Penguins now versus the team that lost in five to the Rangers, that team was really struggling to cobble together a lineup. This one is a competitive group. These guys, if somebody falters, if somebody's not producing, he's simply going to fall down the lineup or not dress. There wasn't that threat last year. This is a much, much deeper group.
Who's going to, because right now I count 10 forwards under contract right now with NHL experience. So where does the rest of that forward group fill out? Is it free agency? Is it the players that were in the American League last year? Who kind of fills out the rest of this forward group for Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I do think the Penguins have one move left to be made, and I'm not sure exactly what that is, but right now they're about $500,000 to $600,000 underneath the salary cap, and that's just too close. We saw last year that, you know, they got in a situation where they had to play with 5D because they didn't have enough money to get a 6th. They don't want to do that again, so they need to shed some salary, and basically the process of doing that, I think, will dictate those other forward spots. If they're able to shed a Kunitz or a Scuderi, then they can maybe go out and add somebody. If they're able to shed, let's say, a Ben Lovejoy, maybe that is, you know, where they bring in a younger guy. I think as it stands now, there's going to be at least one spot that's kind of reserved for a young guy who earns it. And whether that's Scott Wilson, Brian Rust, Bobby Farnham, Connor Sheary, I mean, those are some names in the Penguins system right now that are kind of knocking on the NHL door. You know, there will be a spot to earn. There's not a lot of playing time to be earned, but there are at least... they want to keep at least one spot to reward guys who are producing at the AHL level.
Jason Mackey of the Pittsburgh Tribune reviews with us here on the Big Show on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Just a couple more for you, Jason. First of all, you kind of touched on a little bit earlier there, but where does Adam Clendenning fit? He's 22 years old, not a ton of NHL experience, but where do you see him within the Pittsburgh organization?
Yeah, I mean, I would think Clendenning's going to start the year in Wilkes-Barre in their AHL affiliate, and that's fine. I don't think there's any rush that he needs to play in the NHL immediately. I think he's going to be introduced to Jay Leach, who's the new assistant coach down there, and will likely be working with Clendenning quite a bit. Everything I understand about Adam is that he's a very gifted offensive player, and they need to work with him on his defense a little bit and some of his own zone play. Obviously stuff that, you know, they believe is fixable. They wouldn't have traded for him if that wasn't the case, but the Penguins very much want to transition to an up-tempo, faster system. I think you're seeing that with some of the moves they're making. So if Clendenning's able to do that and clean up some of his defense, I think there could be a spot for him. They also could have to make a move at some point on their defense, and you might need to trade a young guy, maybe to get an established veteran or maybe to upgrade a little bit at that position by trading prospects. Mm-hmm. If Clendenning comes in and really wows some people at the AHL level, I think he might be one of those guys.
There, like, we know there's a couple of, I mean, Letang's there, Scuderi's there. It's not as if they're completely young, but there's going to be a lot of youth on that blue line this year, isn't there?
There is, and Olimata is a guy. He's going to be a top pairing guy, assuming he's healthy. I mean, right now, if I'm writing it down, Olimata and Chris Letang's are top pairing. Ian Cole, still a relatively young player. He's going to pair it with Derek Pouliot for the second pairing, and Rob Scuderi, Brian Dumoulin, who Dumoulin's only, you know, he'll go into his third year, but he hasn't even played a full season yet, and Ben Lovejoy. I mean, those three are going to battle it out for two spots. And you've got some young guys, and, you know, Clint Denning is one of them. Whether you consider Tim Erickson in the mix, came over in the Kessel deal, and he could be somebody. So, and ideally, they're not going to say this publicly, but they would love to have Rob Scuderi move on to other things. It's just a lot of money to pay a defenseman of that age, and his game isn't where it used to be, and his contract is really brutal right now. But I don't know what the market is on that. I have a feeling that if somebody was willing to take that contract, they would have done it by now. But it will be interesting to see whether Scuderi starts the season with the Penguins.
Jason, appreciate the time. Thank you so much today. Have yourself a great rest of the week, hey?
Will do. Thanks, guys. Anytime.